From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. In a moment, what to do with the Trinity River? After 2 centuries, that question still remains. But before we look back, let's travel with some Texans who made history yesterday. Buses from across the state carried several hundred Texas Muslims to Austin, many of them first-time visitors to the state capital. Dwali Saikautau was on one of those buses. She looks back on what turned out to be an intense day trip.
Before sunrise, a few dozen Muslims, including students from a parochial school called Radiant STEM Academy, are readying for prayers at the Islamic Center of Irving.
Are you praying? Did you pray yet?
After a few minutes, a young boy takes charge. Later, on the bus to Austin, the kids relax. Saif Islam is at the front of the bus, excited about his first trip to the capital.
I'm passionate about learning my right as a citizen of the United States, as a Muslim, and to know what I should be doing so I can take the positive messages back in my community so we can contribute in a positive way.
He and busloads of Muslims from at least 5 other cities are participating in what's called Texas Muslim Capital Day, a regular event sponsored by the local chapters of the Council on American Islamic Affairs. The idea is to show young people and adults how to participate in democracy. As the visitors arrive to the south steps of the Capitol, they see a few dozen protesters carrying signs that say, "Save America" and "Go home, take Obama with you." Rick Ellis is a native of Fort Worth and now lives just east of Waco. His sign reads, "Jesus Christ is Lord."
Sharia law violates the rights of persons. We do not violate the rights of another person. And when they renounce the violations of people's rights all over the world, whenever they deal with that, when they clean the trash out of their own mosque, then they can come lecture me as an American.
Sheikh Islam Mossad is with the North Austin Muslim Community
Center. We are here for a safe Texas. We are here for a healthy Texas. We are here for a prosperous Texas. And as for haters, haters are as in the words of the teenagers. They're just like dust. Just brush them off.
While protesters continue to shout "Jesus" and "ISIS will gladly take you," speakers try to stay focused on the day's goals. Dominic Calhoun is a staffer for State Representative Sylvester Turner, a Democrat from Houston.
To the students that are here, we encourage you to take part of the democratic process. And once again, we welcome you to the House. If you have any questions or concerns, please feel free to stop by Representative Turner's office in the ground floor, West 15. May God bless you.
Another welcome came from State Representative Jeff Leach, a Republican from Plano. He tweeted, "All Texans are welcome at your Capitol, and all Texans are always welcome in my office. Come one, come all. Hashtag TexLedge." That wasn't the case with freshman State Representative Molly White, a Republican from Belton, south of Waco. She left an Israeli flag at her front desk in the Capitol and instructed her staff to ask Muslim visitors to renounce Islamic terrorist groups and pledge their allegiance to the United States. On Facebook, she wrote, quote, "We'll see how long they stay in my office," end quote. These words didn't discourage Aliyah Salem, the executive director of the North Texas chapter of the Council on American Islamic Affairs. Speaking to the crowd of mostly young students, she says,
"You have to get involved. You have to participate, or this country will never represent you. I want everybody here today to be proud, because I don't want to talk about what we aren't. I want to talk about what we are. And Muslims are amazing people. We are an amazing community, and there should be nothing in this world that stops you from living up to those ideals that we pledge to in our faith and in our country."
And with that, hundreds climb back onto the bus and headed home. Dwahli Saikautau, KERA News, Austin.
It may seem like politicians and planners have spent just a decade or two sparring over the proposed Trinity River toll road, But there have been arguments about the river ever since people started settling alongside the Trinity nearly two centuries ago. Conflict will be a central theme of the 16th Annual Dallas History Conference. This week's Friday conversation, urban historian Bob Fairbanks talks with Vice President of News Rick Holter about another conflict that shaped Dallas.
Bob Fairbanks, welcome to the Friday conversation.
Thank you very much.
What is it about this river that spurs so much emotion?
The river plays an important part in the history of Dallas. In the 19th century, it was, of course, the scene of hopes for navigation. But by the 20th century, it would flood a lot, and that would create a great divide between Dallas and Oak Cliff, its other part. And what to do with the Trinity River has been a major issue in Dallas history almost from the beginning.
The Trinity was a much different animal then.
It was. You could cross it, for one thing. That was one of the real reasons that John Neely Bryan located Dallas here, because it was easier to get across there than almost any other place. And he had high hopes that eventually, if the Trinity were cleared of branches and impediments, it could be used as a navigation tool for the city to send things down to Houston.
What kind of impact did the flood of 1908 have on this town?
Dallas, by the early 20th century, was building up quite a bit, and water flooded both neighborhoods but also parts of downtown. It was a devastating flood. More than 1,000 people were homeless. It created significant property damage at this time. It was certainly a very important event.
In the 20s, this levee reclamation project was dreamed up. How did that work?
When George Kessler came to Dallas to do a comprehensive plan for the city, one of the things that he thought and what he recommended was there was a need to control the Trinity River. And in his 1911 plan, he called for the straightening of the river by digging a new river channel, and then you'd reclaim the river channel by creating levees, basically, with the excess dirt. There was such a hurry to get the land reclaimed and to industrialize that the proponents really pushed city government and antagonized a lot of people. And of course, by the time they got done, we had the Great Depression, then we had World War II, and by the time things were ready to go, the levees were crumbling, and they had to rebuild them completely.
The title of your presentation at the Dallas History Conference tomorrow is The Great Divide. How did those decisions made in the 20s and 30s shape the city we see today?
It ended up creating incredible tensions between different parts of the town. It was also a setting for neighborhood rebellion against decisions that were made by the city government. It destroyed probably the only truly comprehensive planning organization that promoted the will of neighborhoods, the Kessler Plan Association. It almost derailed the Citizens Charter Association. It could have easily disappeared, and we would have had a very different kind of government than we have today.
Now, you've studied this river and this city in depth. If you could hop into a time machine and dial back a century, what would you tell the planners hoping to reroute the river?
I would have been a stronger promoter of embracing Kessler's original plan of having a shorter levee system to really just protect and preserve downtown and open up 4,000 acres of reclamation land instead of 13,000. I do think that levee supporters and reclamation supporters did not handle this really well because they had so much money invested. They needed things to be done right away. But they pushed so hard that they antagonized a lot of people who had supported it.
If you look at some of the controversies of recent years, the roadway, the efforts to develop in the Trinity Forest, is there a curse of the Trinity?
I'm not sure if there's a curse, but there are some interesting parallels. I mean, there's that same passion, really, in the discussion and the discourse about things now than there was back then. These kinds of issues, though, do bring division within a community.
Bob Fairbanks, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Bob Fairbanks speaks tomorrow at the Dallas History Festival at Fair Park. You can check out our digital project at trinityrivertexas.org. Partly sunny skies, a high of 55 ahead of us today. It's 43 now in Dallas, 42 in Fort Worth. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.